description of my stay in Vrindavan. And then I would like to show you the slides which Philip has taken from our this year stay. Damayanti is our new photographer star. Haribol Damayanti. Maybe for this we please have a little light, or normal light, and then when we show the slides. Yes. Hare Krishna. Please let us chant the mantras together. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nivasesa Shunyavadi Paskatyare Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nitananda Sri Arvaita Gararhara Sivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So in this part of our program I want to be like the homecoming pilgrim who gives the information of the Holy Dham to those who stayed behind. Actually, in old times, it was often so that people from a village, by the way, who put the picture of Krishna on the floor? No need to say, please put a cushion there. Why? Because it's a holy picture and it should be above the floor a little. You sit with your... First, listen. You sit with your behind on a cushion. Don't you think Krishna should sit? Yes, he should sit. The picture should be a little high. Once again, why? Because Krishna is a person and we have to worship him. So this means also the next picture of Krishna, which is on the floor, we should put it high, because it's in every picture the same. No, I'm telling you, yes, I think you don't know, and therefore I need to inform you. Good. So in old times, people would leave their village and go to a pilgrimage, for instance, to the Himalayas or to Vrindavan, and then they would come back with news. All the people in the village would think, how is Vrindavan? How was your journey? What did you see? What new realization about Krishna did you make? So today I'm trying to fulfill this role. I have left the village, Zagreb, many months ago, and I went on a very long journey, first to America and Russia, and then India, and now I'm back, and I want to tell you how it was. I hope you want to know how it was. So I will describe to you a little bit why I personally think such pilgrimage are very important in our spiritual life. See, when we are in our normal lives, our consciousness usually shrinks. Do Do you understand the word shrinking? It's like a pullover which you put into hot water. It shrinks. It becomes small. What does this mean? Well, we think about our daily meals, breakfast, noon, and evening. We think about the film program. We think about our partners and the worries which we have or the joys which we experience. But the rest of the world doesn't exist for us. Our consciousness shrinks and becomes limited. In reality, we have a very, very broad consciousness, a very wide consciousness, a very expanding consciousness, and that's our desire to be broad-minded and open. But whenever we stay at a place, the danger is that we become small-minded by just thinking about the many small little things which have to be taken care, beginning with the soap and ending with the toothpaste. So, pilgrimage is a way where we leave our small little circle, our small little world, and enter into the wide world, the broad world of Sri Krishna by visiting his holy places and hearing about Krishna. Srila Prabhupada writes about this in the Bhagavatam. He says, he speaks about the pilgrimage place of Vrindavan. He says, there are still many devotees staying in Vrindavan in ecstasy because they search for Krishna and his childhood associates, the gopis. It is not that these devotees meet Krishna face to face in that tract of land, so they don't meet Krishna face to face, but when a devotee searches eagerly after Krishna, it is as good as seeing him personally. That was a difficult concept maybe to translate. I will repeat it again. When a devotee eagerly searches after Krishna, it is as good as when he sees him personally. And Prabhupada explains why searching or looking for Krishna is equal with meeting Krishna. He says when you search for Krishna, you think so much about Krishna that Krishna is in your heart, or the thought of Krishna is in your heart. And when you think of Krishna, then Krishna really is present in your life. When you don't think of Krishna, Krishna is absent, even though you may stay in the temple. Isn't it evil? But if you are searching for Krishna, thinking of Krishna, longing for Krishna, where is my Krishna? Branko, where is Krishna? Don't look for Anita, look for Krishna. Much better. Car owner. Maybe Krishna wants you to stay here. Everyone has forgotten about Kalawats. No. Hare Krishna. So if you look for Krishna, and the idea is, I want to find Krishna, I need to have Krishna, it's more important than my car and than my other plans. My plan is to be with Krishna. Then Krishna is reached. Just the eagerness to have Krishna is already sufficient to have Krishna. Because Krishna is not like a material person where you just want some want to be with a person, but you are still separated unless you meet him face to face. No, Krishna is, when you only think of him, because Krishna is not different from his thought, the meditation about Krishna, then Krishna is in your life. So Prabhupada says that there are many devotees in Vrindavan who search for Krishna. That very idea of searching for Krishna in Vrindavan in pure God consciousness gives more pleasure to the devotees than seeing him face to face. So I had heard about this exalted concept in Krishna consciousness many years ago, and I started to develop a plan to go once in a year to Vrindavan. I have executed this plan for many years now, maybe 20 years. Some years I couldn't go, especially the last years were difficult years for me in my life. So sometimes I couldn't go, but I would nevertheless stay that months in a year with Krishna. I would stay and just chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, the whole month. Because I personally feel that I have dedicated this life to Krishna consciousness. I have given up a material career. I'm not doing the things which I was educated to do, and which I was trained to do, and which I was planned to do. I have all given this up, so I might as well become successful in this life, in this Krishna conscious life, and give my full determination to this. So therefore, I performed this year my pilgrimage. I was also not very well. I was very much in pain in Moscow. The doctor said, you need an operation, best is you stay here. And I said, no, I want to go to Radharani's kingdom. This is more important than physical well-being. Spiritual well-being is much, much more important. And it's Radharani's month, and I want to stay in Radharani's month in Vrindavan. So when I went on a pilgrimage, I remembered the ideal pilgrim called Akrura. Akrura, I have given some lessons, I've made some notes for this lecture. Akrura is a devotee of Krishna, and he went to Vrindavan in order to bring Krishna from Vrindavan to Mathura. Akrura had been sent by Kamsa, who wanted to actually, he was an atheist and a great demon. He wanted to have Krishna officially killed in Mathura by some ultimate fighters. You know, Chanura and Mustika were in the ultimate fight profession. They were killing people while fighting with them in an arena for the entertainment of lusty people. I think we have ultimate fight here in Zagreb, isn't it? But no one gets killed as far as I know. But at that time, there was also fighting, but people were killing each other. So Kamsa had ordered Akrura to bring Krishna for an ultimate fight to Mathura, where he wanted that Krishna is killed. Very demoniac plan. So Akrura, who was a devotee, said, ah, my king is a demon, but I am not. I'm a devotee, and I want to see Krishna, and I know that Krishna is supremely powerful. No one will be able to harm Krishna and hurt Krishna. So he fasted the whole night on Ekadasi, and he stayed up all night. I don't know if you know, in Delhi, our devotees in the Punjabi Bagh stay up all night on Ekadasi and chant and talk about Krishna. It's an all-night vigil. Serious devotees do this. They stay up all night on Ekadasis. We might sometimes do this here in Zagreb. It's wonderful. It's really afterwards, after you have done this austerity on the Ekadasi night, and just did reading and chanting the whole night, you are so powerful. You're brilliant with spiritual force. So in the morning, Akrura went by chariot to Vrindavan. And first, when he went to Vrindavan, he thought himself unqualified. He said, since I'm a materialistic person, simply absorbed in my sense gratification, I think it is difficult for me to have gotten this opportunity to see Lord Krishna. But then another thought came into his mind as he was on the way to Krishna. First he thought, oh, I'm so unqualified to see Krishna. But then he thought, yes, I'm an ordinary conditioned soul. But sometimes even ordinary wood, which floats in a river, gets pushed to the safe shore. So in the same way, although I'm just following in my material life on the river of life, sometimes it is possible for me to be saved from the raging river and come to the safe shore of Krishna conscious life. So he felt very, very enthusiastic. He was thinking how it would be when he would arrive in Vrindavan and finally see Krishna. So when Akrura arrived in Vrindavan, he didn't see Krishna. He saw something else. Can you imagine what he saw? Hare Krishna. Dobro doshli. He saw the footprints of Lord Krishna in the dust of Vrindavan. Shukadev Goswami describes this. My dear Parikshit, when Akrura, the son of Swapalka, traveled on the road, he meditated deeply on Sri Krishna, and he reached Gokula when the sun was just beginning to come down. Do you know what happens at that time when the sun comes down in Braj? Then Krishna comes back with his cows. First, the devotees in Vrindavan, the Brijbasis in the village of Vrindavan, see a huge dust cloud in the distance. This is dust raised by the hoofs of the cows. And then they begin to hear flute music. Then they see the cows and see the cowherd boys dancing with their flutes and making their music. And finally, they see the Prince of Braj, Krishna. But the way they see him is very amazing. They see the effulgence of Krishna traveling from where Krishna is and expanding and finally meeting their eyes. So they see that blue effulgence, which is like from a blue emerald jewel, reaching them, and they just become overwhelmed by Krishna's sound and by his beauty. So this is when the sun comes down, and this was the time when Akrura finally reached Vrindavan. Then Shukadev Goswami says, in the cowherd pasture, Akrura saw the footprints of those feet whose pure dust the rulers of all the planets in the universe hold on their crowns. In other words, he saw Krishna's footprints in the dust, and he could understand this dust is what everyone in the universe, even the kings of the universe, want to put on their crowns. Those footprints of the Lord had such marks as the lotus, as the barley corn, an elephant goat, and they stayed on the ground and were wonderfully beautiful. So when Akrura saw these footprints, he became agitated in ecstasy, and his hair stood on end all over the body, and he just went like, whoo, 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 and he jumped from the chariot in one big leap on the ground, and he started to throw himself on the ground and roll on the ground to just have his body been touched by the dust from Krishna's lotus feet. Akrura was totally ecstatic. And Shukadev Goswami, who tells this to Maharaj Parikshit, how Akrura rolls on the ground and cries and laughs and shouts, hurry, 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 hurry. Shukadev Goswami says, this is the goal of life for all embodied beings, especially the devotees in Zagreb. They should experience the ecstasy which Akrura experienced when he put aside all pride, all fear, and all lamentation, and absorbed himself in the things which reminded him of Krishna. You know, especially Krishna's footprint reminded him of Krishna. So this ecstasy which you feel when you absorb yourself in the things of Krishna, that's the goal of human life. And I want to give you an example, because some of you can't speak so good English, but you have eyes and you will understand it very easy. See, the whole goal of your Krishna conscious life is like this. You have to absorb your consciousness, Madhavananda, in thoughts of Krishna. Not worries and problems. That is material, the worries and problems, but thoughts of Krishna are spiritual. So the whole goal is that you somehow bring your consciousness in Krishna, just like I put now this dry cloth of my dhoti inside this cup, and you can see how it absorbs the quality, the water. So by thinking of Krishna, you will absorb Krishna into your consciousness. He will come into your consciousness. We are coming from Vrindavan, where in Vrindavan there's only Krishna. Krishna, kirtans. You know, we had one problem in Vrindavan. That is, in our place where we stayed, there was always kirtan going on twice a day. Beautiful kirtan. And that was the only problem which we had, because it was a little loud sometimes. We tried to tell the Bengali kirtan leaders, soft, 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 and they could manage for 1 minute, but then immediately they became so ecstatic in chanting that they started, Hare, Hare! It was, after 2 minutes, very loud again. That was the only problem. Krishna, there's only Krishna, Krishna, Krishna in the atmosphere. So now we are back in Vrindavan, back in Zagreb, and I must be getting on the nerves of Govindanandan. I don't want to talk about the things he likes to talk about. I only want to talk about Krishna and read about Krishna and think about Krishna, because my consciousness at this moment is still Krishna conscious. So, because I was in Vrindavan, and I could absorb my consciousness in Krishna. This is good, by the way. It's the goal of life, because then you feel so blissful. It's when we are in the material atmosphere, we often absorb so much material things. The new president of America and the terrorists in Mumbai and the no money in Zagreb and, you know, and all these things, you know. But the goal of human life is to absorb your consciousness with Krishna and feel ecstatic, Moksha Rupi, and feel happy. This is the goal of life, like Akrura. He was on his pilgrimage to Vrindavan and he was thinking, oh, Krishna will come and Krishna will, I will see Krishna's footprint. So then he rolled himself on the ground in ecstasy and Sridhar Swami, he's a philosopher. He asks a question. Why did Akrura roll on the ground? Is rolling on the ground something that those who have attained devotion to Krishna do? You know, will I also roll on the ground? You know, this is a... someone might ask. And this text answers this doubt and question. It says, yes. The true goal of life for all embodied beings is to attain the ecstasy which Akrura manifested. Yes, you should become ecstatic, my dear devotees. You should stop being mental and problematic. It's material consciousness. So, Akrura was very happy about this, and finally he saw Krishna and Balaram. I've written down how Krishna and Balaram looked. Would you like to know this? Krishna and Balaram were just coming to milk the cows. Krishna had yellow garments on and Balaram was dressed in, you know, everything. They stepped forward like young elephants. Do you know how young elephants go? They're very playful. Like this, huh? And Krishna Balaram smiled, but their smile had a very particular quality. It was full of samilost, compassion. Yes. And everywhere where they walked, they left the impressions of their feet on the ground, like lotus and flesh, and so on. And although they were, in a way, like young boys, they looked as powerful as big mountains. One, the color of an emerald, that's a blue jewel, and the other, a mountain out of silver. So when Akrura saw Krishna and Balaram, he again paid his obeisances, and Krishna recognized Akrura. And when he recognized him, he took his hand and drew Akrura to his chest and embraced him. And Akrura was there at Krishna's chest and just cried. Krishna had on his hand a very particular sign. When Krishna took his hand to Akrura to grab him and pull him to his chest, Akrura could see on Krishna's hand there was a chakra. And this chakra was a little bit glowing. Chakra? It's a fire wheel. Yes, it was glowing. Akrura could see it. And immediately he understood this to be like a hand language. You know, hand language, when I make like this, I mean, I'm hungry. So when Krishna made this sign, there was a chakra and it was a hand language. And this hand language meant, don't fear Akrura. I have a chakra and I will kill Kamsa. Don't worry, because Akrura had been sent by Kamsa, who wanted to kill Krishna. And Krishna just showed his hand and did two things. He drew Akrura to his chest, but he also showed Akrura, don't worry, there's no worry, I have my chakra, don't worry. Krishna's very, very sensitive or very intelligent. So I remembered this story from the Bhagavatam, and I remembered the particular lesson which this story gives us. The particular lesson of this story is, we should, when we go to Vrindavan, think of Krishna. And then when we reach Vrindavan, we should forget our fear, our lamentation, and we should just pay our obeisances to Krishna in the dust of Vrindavan. I always do this. The moment I reach Vrindavan, I go a little away from the devotees and find a nice spot and then fall down on the ground and I turn one time around and then the other time around also, because I remember it's the goal of human life to throw yourself in the dust and roll in ecstasy in the dust of Vrindavan. This is Prabhupada says this, and I'm doing this. It's very ecstatic. So when we came to Vrindavan, we first arrived in Govardhan, and we put our obeisances here. Now for Akrura, Krishna appeared personally, and personally drew Akrura to his chest. This may not happen to every pilgrim. It may not be that Krishna appears to every pilgrim directly and embraces him to his chest. But what will happen to every pilgrim is that Krishna will give him signs or hints. He will talk to him in some subtle hints. And I want to tell you two hints which Krishna gave me. See, I stayed in Man Mandir, that is one of the hills, the four hills or four mountains of Vashana. This is actually the head of Lord Brahma. I stayed on the head of Brahma. we must know. Shiva wanted to serve Krishna in his earthly pastimes, and that's why he became the hill Nandishvara on which Krishna's palace was built. And Brahma wanted to serve Radharani, and that's why his four heads became the four mountains of Vashana. And we stayed in Manga, very, very nice temple, and I really hope all of you will get the opportunity to see this temple. Maybe tomorrow we have a picture. Today we don't have a picture. We only have a picture of Ramesh Baba and the dancing gopis of Manga. I will show this to you a little later. But so we stayed. And after 1 week, one sadhu came into the hall which was before my room. This sadhu was a little smaller than me. He only had a small little bag like this and a little green mattress. And when he arrived, he was lying on the mattress. He lay down on the mattress. Then after a whole day had passed, he was still lying on the mattress. And I was interested. I mean, the whole day, 24 hours? That's a real marathon. But so I came close to him, and I saw him smiling, and his hands were like this. You know, he was lying next to his mattress, and he was chanting, Hari Om. Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari, 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 Hari. He was smiling and his hands were like this. So I immediately thought, this is either a dangerous crazy man. You know, some sadhus try to escape their responsibilities in this world, just like Hare Krishna devotees also do. You know, they are not fit for the, some are not fit for doing anything in the world, and then they escape, and then they want to show that they are big sadhus, but they are really, there's room for improvement in their lives. So, so this I saw, I thought he's either one of those dangerous person, or he is a great Paramahansa, a great soul. So I decided to look at him very carefully. I locked my room in the night, just to be sure. And after the second day, he was lying next to his mattress, on the ground. His eyes were on the ceiling. He chanted, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om. So I said, Gaurahari, please save me. So Gaurahari. And then it took a few minutes, isn't it? And then his consciousness turned to normal. And he said, Hari Bol. Gaurahari said, not disturb, not disturb. Don't disturb, you know. And he was not aware that he had done, that he had, he was lying for 2 days and just chanting Hari Om, Hari Om, and that we were concerned if everything was all right. And he, then after some time he got up and he swept the hall very nicely. And, but I was afraid. I thought, I have seen too much in our movement. it's not easy to convince me any longer by saying just a little Hare Krishna and so on, or Hari Om. I was really skeptical. And then the third day came, and he was just lying the whole day, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om. And I said to one of, because Gaurahari didn't do anything, so I said to one other member, is everything all right? Maybe he needs medical attention. But the person said, his name was Ambarish, no, he's a Paramahansa. He's a great soul. And that made me thinking. And then I continued to watch him, and whenever I saw him, I made a point to greet him, Jai Radhe. And he looked at me with eyes, my dear devotees, I've never seen such eyes. They were so absolutely pure. There was not a shade of material consciousness. Like a little child, very blissful and extremely clear and intelligent. So I thought, my God, maybe I have made a Vaishnava aparat. Maybe he is a Paramahansa. So I continued to watch him, and for 4 weeks, and he was only either lying there or sitting like this, just totally blissful. And it became so cold. He was just dressed with a little cloth, and he was just sitting there and meditating and being in bliss. So at the end, he said in 2 days he would go back to Gujarat, and I wanted to give him a present. So I came with brand new socks, which Sadanandi had sent, German wool socks for the sadhus who get cold feet in Vrindavan. And I gave him this feet, and he said, no need, no need, no need. He didn't want to take the socks. And then I was interested, and I said, I have observed you, and we have become good friends. What are you doing? What are your beliefs? What is your sadhana? And he told me something so beautiful. He said, in this life, I'm not qualified to be Krishna's devotee. But in this life, all I do is, I chant his name in my mind. Sometimes I chant loud. I do Nam Smaranam. And because this world is a world of birth and death, I do not wish to be in any connection with the world. I have renounced the world. Maybe then in my next life I can do what you do now, to chant Krishna's name the whole day. He was so very humble. He was definitely much more qualified than I am. But he was so humble. He said, I'm not a devotee, but I wish to be a devotee. And therefore I'm just sitting here in Vashana, Radharani's kingdom, and I'm just chanting in my mind the whole day. I don't want to entangle myself in anything of this false world, which is the world of birth and death. And therefore he didn't even want to take socks. So I learned from this devotee, Krishnadas is his name, that you have to be very careful in judging devotees, like I had done. I thought, maybe he's dangerous, you know, because he did something which I couldn't understand. I really felt like this. I have to respect every devotee and what he does and how he serves Krishna, and be very careful to not pass a judgment too quickly. When he does, the devotee doesn't do what is my style. So that is what Krishna sent me. I think you know, my duty is as a sannyasi to present a spiritual standard and to sometimes help devotees to see what they have not seen or what they have forgotten. So I'm very often in the role of a trainer, a teacher who teaches devotees. But that is dangerous, because a teacher has to see he is at this level and he needs to go here. And you need to make a judgment. But Krishna taught me, by sending me Krishnadas, that I shouldn't judge. That was what Krishna had prepared for me. There were many other things, and I want to tell you one last thing, which I will talk tomorrow in detail in the morning class. I want to introduce to you tomorrow a spiritual technique, which will help you to become very quickly successful in your Krishna consciousness. But it said that the river Yamuna is on one level a river, on another level, river Yamuna is a process of transformation. And if this is already complicated, wait a minute, now it gets more complicated. And on the third level, Yamunaji is a divine personality. So a person can always communicate to another person. And what Yamuna communicates to those who go to her banks and chant is, Yamuna gives you first-class attachment to Krishna in your heart. You just need to sit there and you become attached to Krishna. So I was sitting at the bank of the Yamuna with some devotees, and I was just praying to Yamuna, oh Yamuna, please take my soul and carry it to Krishna. So at this moment, Krishna had arranged another hint for me. Do you understand what is the word hint? How do we say? Yes. Nasnaka. Ne? A hint. Krishna had appeared to me in the form of a hint. I was just thinking, oh Krishna, when do you take my soul and bring it to Krishna? And at this moment, a sadhu came, very serious sadhu, and brought a little clay cup with a flame and offered the flame to Yamuna, like sadhus do, and put the flame into the Yamuna and then went away. So I was sitting And I was observing this little clay cup with a flame. And it was struggling to become free from the banks of the river. Came, floated a little, and then got entangled in the bank. And I was somehow looking all the time at that lamp. Then it became darker and darker, but I couldn't leave the Yamuna. I had to see what happened with that lamp. Finally, Yamuna took the lamp and put the lamp in midstream, and the lamp was flowing into the night of Braj. And I was just sitting there, and all of a sudden, Krishna began to teach me through Vrindavan that, yes, my dear devotee, I have accepted your prayer. See, Yamuna is taking the light and bringing it into the distance and bringing it to me. In the same way, one day Yamuna will come and take you to Krishna, to me, to my divine abode. And I was just so happy, because I felt Krishna was directly speaking to me through a language which I could understand and appreciate. So when you go to Vrindavan, it may not always be that Krishna appears to you like he appeared to Vrindavan and like he appeared to Akrura and pulled Akrura to the chest. But what will always happen is that Krishna sends you little hints, little lessons, little understandings which begin to transform your life and make your pilgrimage successful. So this is my experience. I could tell you now for many hours what happened, but I will just finish this part because I want to show you the slides. I only want to say this much. Please all make a plan to come for next year to Govardhan retreat. It has become so absolutely wonderful. We have really made the breakthrough now with the retreat, and it's really something else. Devotees have really breakthrough experiences. We have found a wonderful new place. Just our ashram is just next to Giriraj, and you have the best dreams you ever had. And wonderful. So I want to show you a little bit now. There's so much to show, but I will only show you for half an hour. And tomorrow, after the Sunday program, I will try to show the rest of the slides. I hope it's possible, because they are really good. So please, Gaurahari, open the slide presentation. Is Moksha Rupi Prabhu still here? Could you pick up a madanga and sit here? I need a pair of cartels. I have. I think I have, yes. Please close the light and open the... I'm explaining something and then saying you need to be there. Mm-hmm. And please take your harmonium there. Yeah. Do you? Mm-hmm.